why there is a need for a government which will be established by the Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
In one of the letters that he writes to Sheikh Mufid, he tells us one of the ways that we can end the ghibah.
Let us see how one can prepare for the advent of the zuhur of Imam Mahdi, Sahib al-Zaman.
This is Dialogue, an introduction to the most important dialogues and conversations of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. The program is Dialogue and I'm your host Mahdi. Today we want to talk about one of the great personalities in the history of Islam, Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Please stay tuned. The 12th divinely appointed Imam, Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, is the one who brings hope to all of humanity. As the world is being grinded between the oppressors and tyrants of the age, we look towards the heavens so that the advent of the 12th divinely appointed Imam comes sooner. We raise our hands in prayers and we raise our hands in supplications so that the awaited Savior of humanity comes and brings the final hope and salvation that humanity is so yearning for and desiring. The sights and the eyes of the world are looking towards the advent of this great Savior, Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance so that his eminence comes to establish the divine rule of the Almighty Allah for every single human being is completely dependent and needs this divine rule of the Almighty Allah. And it is this divine rule of the Almighty Allah, the kingdom of God that is to be established by Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, which will bring about ultimate justice in a world which is filled with cruelty and injustice. Welcome back, dear listeners. This is IRIB English Radio, and we're talking about the dialogues of Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance. So as we speak about the dialogues of Imam al-Mahdi, the awaited savior of humanity, may Allah hasten his reappearance, we find that he has this conversation and this back and forth with an individual by the name of Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Ja'far. And so here this individual, he asks various questions to Imam al-Mahdi, and of course His Eminence, the awaited savior of humanity, he answers this question of this individual. So Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Ja'far, he narrates that according to what Imam al-Mahdi has said in a different part or in a different time, that if one touches a dead body while it is still warm, they are only obliged to wash their hands. But if the corpse and the dead body has cooled down, and then one touches it after that, one is obliged to perform the ritual bath of touching a dead body. And so, is this correct or not? And Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, says that if an individual touches the dead body while it is warm, it is only necessary to wash the hands. Now, this is interesting because in a previous program, we had talked about how this specific explanation was not put forth. But what is interesting is that in this situation, the answer has been given directly. So, for example, Imam al-Mahdi, he directly says that it is because the fact that the body was still warm, and that's why you don't have to do the ritual bath. So it's really interesting, you know, sometimes we have a tendency to start to kind of wonder where our jurisprudential rulings come from, you know, where are these, well, I guess that's the main question, is where are these rulings coming from? And here we see that these rules, of course, are coming from the Holy Quran, the verses of the Holy Quran, and of course they are coming from the traditions of the divinely appointed imams. And what's really beautiful is that despite the occultation of the 12th divinely appointed imam, Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, you know, despite his occultation, we find that he too is dealing with these jurisprudential questions. And so, you know, we should never like doubt that our jurisprudence, or the jurisprudence of the Shia madhab, the Shia school of thought, is correct or not. It is actually the most correct jurisprudence that is out there, alhamdulillah, because these divinely appointed imams whom we are connected with, these divinely appointed imams were connected with the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And of course, this is how the jurisprudence of the Shia school of thought is much stronger, is much purer, and it is less distorted, for example, than the other schools of thought. This is Dialogue, Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. IRIB English Radio, our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir. Now we invite you to listen to Brother Khalil Ja'far.
If we go even further back and look at the previous prophets and how their people behaved, look at, for example, the Jews to whom the Prophet Musa ala Nabiyina wa alayhi salam was sent. They saw some astounding miracles which we can perhaps not even imagine to ever see in our lifetime. Take, for example, the miracle they saw of a staff being changed into a serpent. Or take, for example, the miracle of the parting of the sea. Can you imagine, many of you may have seen a sea or an ocean. I know there are some who have never lived out of Ontario and they've never seen anything but a lake. But I'm sure you have seen an ocean even on television. And if you're standing at the shores of an ocean and the sea begins to part in front of your eyes and you're walking on the seabed now and there are walls of water besides you that rise up like mountains and you walk across this, what more would you want than this as evidence? Yet, after having seen this miracle, they still went and worshipped a calf. And they turned away from God. So, this is the first glimpse that makes us wonder, can physical signs really give you concluding evidence and a conviction that will never make you turn away from the truth? And there is an interesting incident that's narrated in Nahjul Balagha, that during the Khilafat of Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib, a Jew came to the Imam, and he tried to mock Islam in the presence of the Imam. He said to him, "Oh Ali, you Muslims, your prophet died, you had not even buried him when you started fighting amongst yourselves." That was his argument. The reply of the Imam, astounding and beautiful. "We argued about who should succeed our prophet, but we did not argue about the message that our prophet brought. Whereas you Jews, the mud in your sandals after walking across the ocean had not even dried when you said to your prophet, 'Make for us a god to worship like these idol worshippers have a god.'" And this is in the Quran where Allah says in Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verse 138, "قَالُوا يَا مُوسَىٰ اِجْعَلْ لَنَا إِلَٰهًا كَمَا لَهُمْ آلِهَةً." As soon as they crossed the sea, they saw a group of people worshipping an idol. They said, "Oh Moses, make for us an idol so that we too may worship it like they worship." And he said to them, "Surely you are an ignorant people."
for listening to this episode of the program, Dialogue. For more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. Until another episode, God bless you and fi amanillah.